1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. The word covet there also means desire. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So when he's talking to the church at Corinth, he's also talking to the church today. And so if the church at Corinth was to covet them and to earnestly desire them, we at Heart of the Bay should covet them as well. And you know, the only way that you're going to be able to covet them is to make sure that you stay good and hungry for them. And one avenue that, by which you can stay hungry is you can hear the Word of God about it. Amen. Long for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Pray about them. Teach on them. Amen? And I like what he says here, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, you'll notice that that's the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then he goes right into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the great love chapter. It's the great love chapter. And I believe that what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul is this, that the more excellent way to flow in these best gifts of the Holy Spirit is make sure that love is your goal. Amen. That you're following after love. You know, Buddy Harrison, Dad Hagen's son-in-law, married to Pat Harrison for many years. Buddy's been in glory for a number of years. But he said, you know, when I function and operate in the Holy Ghost and in the gifts, a lot of times I'll get in a crowd, I'll get in a service, and I'll just be pulled toward a person. And I'm just pulled by the love of God. And the love of God pulls me to them. That's following after love. And you know what? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Yes. Amen. Yes. You have the same love, praise God, in you that Jesus had. Yes. Amen. So if you learn to walk in the love of God, God will pull you towards people. God will point someone out to you. And it might mean that, you know, you might give them some money, or you may just give them an encouraging word. I'll tell you what, right now, a lot of people need encouragement. And that's why it's so important for us to stay encouraged. So that we can be encouragers. Now, we're going to all face opposition. We're all going to face times where we don't feel encouraged. Just like David did back there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Remember that his hometown was just ripped off. Their wives were ripped off. All of their goods were stolen by the Philistines. And David's own people spake of stoning him. But you know what David did? He went and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? Well, you know, if David can encourage himself in the Lord, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? And so built up people then built others up. But the point I'm making is this. Be aware of the love of God on the inside of you. Follow after love. And when you follow after love, you cannot fail. When you follow after the love of God, you will be an incredible blessing to people around you. And really, that's what Christianity is all about. Lord, make us a blessing. Amen. That's what Dad Hagen would pray just about every day of his life. He said, Lord, help me to be a blessing. We can pray that right now. Lift a hand toward heaven and say, Lord,
help me
to be a blessing. After all, that's what blessed people do. Blessed people don't go around, toot their own horn, and talk about all they have and all they've done and all that junk. No, blessed people are born to be blessings. Glory to God. And what a vicia matore di stepalia. And one of the greatest blessings you can be to others is to be an encouragement to them and be a builder up of them and be a blessing. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall move through you, and great and glorious things shall surround them and you. Amen. Glory to God. And so in the gifts of the Spirit, we're going to follow after love. We're going to covet them. We're going to desire them. We're going to long after them and earnestly desire them. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's look at this love chapter. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, amen. And what does the gift of prophecy do? Well, the gift of prophecy edifies. The gift of prophecy exhorts. The gift of prophecy comforts people. Amen? And so he says, now even though I may have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, what does he say about that?
Nothing.
He says, I am nothing. So we're reminded here about walking in love and making love our goal when we're talking about a move of the Spirit. Now notice in verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me how much?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And then he goes on to list love's characteristics. I like it in the Amplified Version, but I'll read it in the King James Version. It says, charity, what does it do? It suffereth not. The Amplified says, love is patient, endures long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek her own. Is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in what?
The truth.
Rejoices in the truth. Love, God's love in you, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. When you're walking in the love of God, you are sure to be a success in life. Charity never fails. Now, whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. We know in part. We prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I mean, as a child, we thought everything was about me, myself, and I. That's childish, right? Amen. I thought as a child, but when I became a man of God, when I became a woman of God, what did I do? I put away childish things. In other words, life is no longer about me. Life is about being a giver. I'm living now to give. Amen. Folks, there's not much time left on planet Earth. I don't know when it's all going to be wound up, when it's going to be over, but we might as well just get busy and stay busy, put away childish things, and make it about other people.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, I put away those little childish things. And then verse 12, for now we know through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also am known. And now, read verse 13 with me, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these, is charity. The greatest of these is love. And then notice right there in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after what?
Love.
Follow after love.
Amen.
That's what Buddy Harrison was talking about. He'd be pulled to people in the congregation. And what he was doing, he was just following the leadership of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He was following after the love of God. So he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Glory to God. And so the motivation then again for desiring spiritual gifts and wanting such a move of God in our midst is based on the motivation of the love of God.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 13. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. One writer said it this way, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a chapter about things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. You see spiritual gifts in there. You see purpose derived as being part of the body of Christ. Amen. And then, of course, you see the ministry gifts. So he says here, and I would not have you to be ignorant. God does not want His church to be ignorant.
Amen.
Amen. He said, now you know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by what? But by the Holy Ghost. And there are differences of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there's differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there is difference of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. So we see administrations, we see operations, and we see diversities of gifts. Amen. Now notice here in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith or special faith, or this gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Literally, healing there is healings. The gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Read verse 11 with me. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Raise a hand toward heaven and say, Lord, as you will.
Lord,
I am your child.
I am available
to be used by you. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, God just heard that prayer. So don't be surprised if you're walking through Costco tomorrow, or if you're walking through Lucky and the Spirit of God gives you something on the inside of you. He may just give you an unction. Just go ahead and pay for that person's groceries. Amen. Well, let me see how much is there on the street cart. Well, I'm telling you, if he's going to tell you to pay for someone's groceries, he's going to make sure you have got the money to do it. But somebody says, I've been waiting for someone to pay my groceries. You see, we need to get on the giving end of life. And when we get on the giving end of life, we sure enough will be on the receiving end of life. But it doesn't go the other way around. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. It doesn't say, receive. After you receive, then you give. Amen. So there's three groups of three here we've seen in 1 Corinthians 12. Three gifts that say something. Gift of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Three gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And then three gifts that do something. Gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. Now, I want to say this tonight. All of these gifts are supernatural. There's nothing natural about these gifts. Let me illustrate to you what I mean. Now, we've read in the Word of God about the word of knowledge, right? Everyone say word of knowledge. Now, let's ask ourselves, what is the word of knowledge not? You know, sometimes before you can find what something is, you got to discuss what it's not. Because the world, and even in religious circles, they have all sorts of crazy ideas about what these gifts of the spirits are. Gifts of the Spirit. They think gifts of healings has to do with medical science. Well, thank God for medical science. But when you're talking about the gifts of healings, you're talking about a supernatural manifestation, a supernatural intervention into a person's body to cause a cure and cause healing. Amen?
Amen.
And thank God for medical science. Now notice this, the word of knowledge. What is it not? Number one, it's not natural knowledge. It's not natural knowledge. And natural knowledge is good, is it not? Well, number two, it's not profound knowledge of the Bible. And I'm a firm believer in having a solid knowledge of the Word of God. But that's not this word of knowledge. And then number three, it's not knowing God. It's the will of God for us to know God. God wants to know us to know Him. You know what happens when you know Him intimately? They that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Amen. So it's not necessarily knowing God, and it's not, well, I have the gift of knowledge. It's not the gift of knowledge. It is a word of knowledge. Now let me give you the definition for a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is supernatural revelation. Say that with me, supernatural revelation. So it's supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of certain facts in the mind of God about people and about places and about things. About people, places, or things. It deals with the past and or it deals with the present. And so the question is asked, how does a word of knowledge come? It's an inward knowing. It's just a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. How it comes? Well, it can come by an inward revelation. It can come by a vision. How many of you have had a vision before? Well, some of you have had a vision. Amen? We're not talking about the kind of vision that eating too much pizza before goes to bed. No, inward revelation, a vision. Also, an audible voice. An audible voice. It can come through a dream. How many of you have had a dream before? Amen. You know, when you have a dream and it's from God, you ought to be able to know what that dream's all about. Amen? And so it can come by a dream. Of course it can. Amen. It can come by, it can come through tongues and interpretation. Or it can come through prophecy. Okay? So that's just a little bit about the word of knowledge. We'll go a little bit deeper into that at another time. We're going to stay on the gifts of the Spirit for several weeks this summer. Is that okay with you? Because I know I need to hear it, and I know you need to hear it as well. And then we'll see it. Amen? Hear it and see it. Amen? So let's get back now to this gift of faith briefly tonight. You know, we see different kinds of faith in the Bible, do we not? Number one, there's saving faith. Are you glad you're saved tonight?
Yeah.
Let me just quote a few scriptures. Ephesians 2, 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And what's the rest?
That not of yourself.
And that not of yourself. It is what? It is the gift of God. And then he goes on to say, I believe in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God. We heard the word of God, and we were able to exercise faith.
Amen.
And how did we exercise that faith? Well, it's very simple. You know this verse of Scripture as well as I do. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess, well, verse 9, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto what? In other words, you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and that God's raised him from the dead, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's saving faith. Verse 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what'll happen? You shall be saved. So that's saving faith. Amen. But that's not the gift of faith. That's not special faith. And then there's common faith or general faith. How many of you know what general faith is all about? Mark 11, verse 23 and verse 24. I could quote it to you, but let me just quote verse 24 to you. Mark 11. Jesus said this. These are golden words from the Master. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you take them, believe that you receive them, and what? And you shall have them. This faith has been deposited into your heart at the time of the new birth. He has given each and every one of us this faith to live by, this faith to speak by, this faith to receive by, this faith to remove mountains by, this faith to receive all things that belong to us in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. And this measure of faith is in you. Thank you, Lord. And in many times, God wants us to move up into the gift of faith. But I believe sometimes before we can operate in the gift of faith, we need to use the common faith. We need to be using our faith every day. We need to be used to faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. The just shall get up in the morning by faith. The just sometimes shall preach by faith. Amen. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And it comes by hearing the word of the Christ.
Yes.
And then, but that's not the gift of faith. That's not special faith. And then there's the fruit of faith. Does anyone know where the fruit of faith is found in the Bible? Galatians, the 5th chapter. That's right. You must have been a Sunday school girl. I bet you were. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I'll just quote it to you. Verse 22, 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But did you know the word faith there in Galatians chapter 5 is literally faithfulness?
Yeah.
Amen. Does God want His kids, His sons and His daughters, to be faithful?
Yeah.
Okay. So this faith that Galatians 5 talks about is necessary. Faithfulness is necessary, but it's not the gift of faith. Now look at verse 9 again of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and notice this verse with me. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit. This special faith is something other than general faith or saving faith. It is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Ghost, whereby a believer is empowered with special faith or wonder-working faith. And it's beyond simple saving faith. The gift of faith. It is a gift of the Spirit to the believer in order that he or she might receive miracles. Everyone say the gift of faith, enables us to receive miracles. Now, the working of miracles, which we'll talk about in depth as well, the working of miracles, on the other hand, is a gift of the Spirit given to the believer that he might work miracles. See, one gift, the gift of faith, receives, but the other does something, performs that. The gift of the working of miracles is active, whereas the gift of faith can sometimes be passive. It receives. Everyone say it receives.
It receives.
Now let me give you a definition. Supernatural endowment by the Holy Spirit, whereby that which is spoken or desired by man or spoken by God will eventually come to pass. Wow. Whether it be an utterance by God or man, a miracle assurance, a curse or a blessing, creation or destruction, removal or alteration, it will ultimately come to pass when it has been spoken by this gift of faith.
Yeah.
Now, examples of this are the patriarchs of old.
Oh, sure.
Who were some of the patriarchs of old? Well, how about Abraham?
Yeah.
How about Isaac?
Yeah.
And Joseph? And Jacob? And Moses? Now, what they would do, they were cognizant of the fact that they were soon going to go on to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Or go on to be with the Lord. So what they would do is they would gather their loved ones. They'd gather their sons. And they would pronounce, everyone say pronounce.
Pronounce.
When you're pronouncing something, you're speaking something. They would pronounce blessings
yes.
upon their loved ones. You know, if they did that back there, we can do that today.
Amen.
And you don't have to wait till you're about to die to do it. You can do some pronouncing of blessings on your loved ones right now. But they would gather them and they would either lay hands upon them or they would pronounce a blessing upon their lives. Oh, glory to God. And they knew that these words that were spoken, these things that were imparted to them, they knew that they would come to pass at the appointed time in the future. This, my friends, was the gift of faith in operation. Understand this. Just like common faith, how many of you know sometimes it takes a while? So it is with the gift of faith in sometimes when blessings are pronounced and hands are laid upon them, it takes a period of time for them to come to pass. Amen. And then, you know, it could happen immediately or it could happen over a process of time. And then how about this one? Man, I like this one. The gift of faith, everyone say the gift of faith. For personal protection. Do we need protection?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I said, do we need some protection?
Yes. Sure.
Don't wait. Do it now. Yes. Plead Psalm 91 like every day of your life.
Yes.
Don't wait to go to the secret place when things are tough. Go to the secret place and stay there. And when things get tough, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, because we got a blood covenant with a covenant-keeping God that protects His kids.
Amen.
Amen. So what I'm saying is use your ordinary faith to do that. Every day of your life. And that then will position you for protection. Notice with me in Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Man, that king had some faith. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. The king is fasting and Daniel's laying down. Neither, not only was he fasting, but there were no instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. We could say that the king was uptight, but Daniel was in rest. Amen. Now notice verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the... Sometimes you ever felt like you've been in a den of lions?
Yeah.
Sometimes people's words can be pretty ugly. Sometimes the circumstances of life can be kind of overwhelming. But anyway, the king arose very early in the morning. He went in haste to the den of lions. And he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, whoo, is thy God whom thou servest? I wonder what would have happened if Daniel wasn't serving God continually. He might have been lion's breakfast. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Hallelujah. My God. Everyone say it, my God. He said, my God has sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. Woo, glory to God. What a God we serve. We serve a lion shutting up God. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Amen. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, that they have no, they've not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no matter of hurt was found upon him because, why?
He believed in his God.
Because what?
He believed in God.
Folks, this is beyond ordinary faith. This is special faith. This is special faith to the degree that enabled Daniel just to rest right in the midst of the lion's den. Oh, hallelujah. So we could say it this way. Daniel received. Daniel received a miracle while he was in the lion's den.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Why didn't the lions hurt him? Because he believed in his God. Daniel didn't do anything, but he just laid down and he rested in God. Amen. So I brought up this fact, which is very important. Use your faith daily for protection. But sometimes things come quickly. Tragedy will try to strike. I'm quite sure that Pastor Hagen was functioning and operating with the gift of faith when that tornado went through the condo down there in Branson, Missouri. We were there. It was the middle of the night. I was sleeping. I kind of like Daniel. But it sounded like a train coming through the condominium. Pastor Hagen stood up out on there in the balcony and he spoke to that tornado. And that tornado was about from here to the wall there. It went right through the area where we were in Branson, but it did not touch us. I believe firmly that that was the gift of special faith. Special faith. And so when the Spirit of God comes upon you in this area of special faith, it's literally God's faith. I don't know how else to say it. It's beyond your faith. It's God's faith coming upon you, enabling you to speak, enabling you to receive. And you will not and you cannot be denied when this gift of faith is in operation in your life. Glory to God. Amen. You know, the same manner you think about Jesus. I believe that Jesus exercised the gift of faith in the face of great danger. How about that raging storm on the Sea of Galilee? Here's Jesus asleep on a pillow in the back of the ship. I believe this, that that was the gift of faith in operation. He slept. He wasn't bothered by the storm. While hungry lions roamed about Daniel, he lay down and slept in the face of danger. And so you're going to see this throughout the Word of God over and over and over again. One more, because we are running out of time. And we can... The nice thing about these Wednesday nights, we can pick up where we leave off. Let's look at this in closing. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. Notice with me 1 through 6. And Elijah the Tishbite. I don't know what a Tishbite is, but... who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's the gift of faith. Oh, my goodness. In other words, it would not be raining still unless he had released it. And verse 2, and the word of the Lord, say it with me, the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord,
the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went. That took some faith. I believe that's the gift of faith. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. Verse 6, read it with me. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Wow. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there.
Yes.
Do you know God's got a place called there?
Yes.
I said God's got a place called there for each and every one of us.
Amen.
Glory to God. When we were younger, when we were in our 20s, and we were just starting out in ministry, we didn't have two nickels to rub together, but we had faith. And we had confidence in a faithful God. And we took some steps of faith, and those steps of faith, God met us every time we took them. I don't know whether the gift of faith was in operation. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you one thing, that if you'll cover your life and walk by the faith of God, you don't have to be so cognizant and so aware whether it's a gift of faith or whether it's a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge. You're just going to flow supernaturally in the supernatural power of God. Amen. And there's a special anointing too that comes upon some people to minister the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 3:5, it says this. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. Read it with me. It says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he not by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Notice that, the ministry of the Spirit. How many of you know that you can lay hands on people with your common faith? For healing. Mm-hmm. You can lay hands on people to be filled with the Spirit with your common faith. Yeah. And we should do that. Mm-hmm. But there's just some people that are gifted in that area. Yeah. There's just that special faith that just flows through them so beautifully and so wonderfully that as soon as they lay hands on the people, they start speaking in tongues. Yeah. Amen. How many of you are available for that? Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's all stand up. We've been seated quite a while. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Praise His name. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you know it takes the gift of faith to raise the dead? It takes 3 gifts of the Spirit to raise the dead. And gifts of healings. Amen. Working of miracles. Praise God, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, right now we're so thankful for this church, what you've started. We declare that you have begun a great work in this Holy Ghost church. You will complete it. You will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Teach us, O God. Teach us in these days ahead, these weeks ahead, these months ahead. Teach us more, O God, about the gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We pray for a supernatural intervention of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in this place, in our lives, and in the body of Christ. We glorify your holy name. Just go ahead and pray in the Spirit just for a moment or two. Glory to God. Praki celebrande. Efredesiando labrati este la mare. Amrundibo sunji de barati e celebronte. I see it, Lord. Thank you. I see that. I see that. I see that. And I receive that. Thank you, Lord. Pakasite. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. That you might war a good warfare. Glory to God. The things that have been spoken over your life in days past, in decades past, in years past, those things that have been spoken, are sure, and surely they shall come to pass. Oh, Mredistea. Thank you, Lord, for those things that have been spoken over this congregation, over this place, Lord. Glory to God. Hold fast to the prophecies that have gone on before you, that by them you might war a good warfare. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Amen. I can think of multiple things that have been spoken over Brenda and I and over this church and over many of you. Multiple things. Amen. You've got to hold fast to those things. Hold fast to those things. Because in holding fast to those things, you won't be so easily giving up. And you'll be able to fight the good fight of faith in the middle of the war. Amen. Holding fast to the deposits of the Spirit of God that He's ministered to you.